For the record, I am hella sick.
Are you?
I was sick last week, dude. It sucks.
Was it COVID or something like?
I mean, it was all in my head. It was like a major head cold.
Like the thing about this,
it wasn't psychosomatic.
No.
There's no cold symptoms, no stuffiness, no nose blowing, which is awesome. I fucking love it. But like everything else, like I got all these aches. I've got diarrhea that is just abominable.
I hope you're recording this.
Oh, it's recording. No one. Okay, you know what? Hey, welcome to AE Double Back for July 26, 2023. Teresa specifically asked that we talk about my diarrhea, so like, here we go.
Oh my god!
I got sick. I picked it up from my kid, who passed it on to my partner, who passed it on to me. I woke up this morning, you guys. I woke up this morning.
Don't go into detail.
In a Please, puddle tell of us cold everything. Diarrhea.
Okay.
What? In the bed.
Cold.
In the bed. Why would you tell me this?
Because you demanded it.
I did not.
You were like, I need
to
know, and I want everybody who's listening to this podcast to know.
Before you finish your sentence, I said, do not go into detail, please.
You know, it's so hot in my apartment, I wish I would wake up in a pool of cold bodily fluids.
You know what? Of the bodily fluids, just pure water shit is not the choice. It's full on like you're 22 again and you drank too much and fell asleep and then like woke up, you know. But
I didn't have the 22 that you did.
I didn't either. Well, but I understand
where you're coming from. I've seen it on others.
And the thing is, like, after so many years of just cleaning up my baby's shit,
yeah,
I'm just
sure.
Like, all right, well, I guess I just got to clean this up. Go grab the enzyme cleaner.
There is a level of stuff you get used to, like when the kid was pissing and shitting all over, barfing all over me. It was kind of like, this is fucking disgusting. Like, mentally I'm acknowledging this, but I'm in too much of a problem solving mode.
Yeah.
To like really care all that much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I getcha.
Getcha. How's that go?
I don't know.
Yes.
What are you saying?
That's exactly how it goes.
No, that song, you know, the
good thing you sound just like it.
Yeah, I do. I know I do.
Quick, somebody Shazam called her. We'll figure this out.
Oh my god. I used to work at a record store where like my boss was like, you need to listen to the radio. Because if someone comes in and they don't know a song, but they're just like, it sounds like la 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 la, you have to know what it is. And I was thinking to myself, you're fucking insane. Are you kidding me? You know how many motherfucking songs there are in this universe? I'm not going to know all of them. And I just chose not to.
I took it as a mark of pride working in the bookstore when someone would come in and ask for the one with the blue cover. I would size the person up and I would like sort of figure out their deal. And we're like, I know what you're talking about. I was pretty good at it.
I bet you were.
I was.
Sweet.
It was really the hype. I peaked really during my bookstore days. Now I'm here.
Kittens? Don't you love working in stores like that though? Cause then you can get things on discount.
Well,
I could buy CDs for $8. Brand new CDs.
Wow, that's Columbia House low.
I know. Mm. And that is that's how much of a difference of markup it is between, because we sold them for like $17, you know what I mean?
Mm. I wonder if in the end Columbia House was I wonder if Columbia House was a reasonable deal in the end.
Who knows? Did anyone actually follow through with any of it?
I feel like I heard of someone who did.
There's some good articles out there about like the whole Columbia House thing. It's pretty interesting.
Hmm.
I can remember none of it because I am in a brain fog and I still am just pooping water. So
gross.
Great. That's great.
I mean, no one's listening to this show anymore.
No. Oh my God.
No, well, we can all the go five. Home.
They're the five who are sticking around because they want to see how this turns out. It will turn out with me pooping myself. That's how it's going to be. In the meantime, though, let's talk about Darby's promo for AR Fox.
Oh, enough to make you shit yourself.
Even so.
You know, it was really weird because I was like, why? Okay, I understand later why. But I, at the time, I was like really confused. I was like, why are you selling AR Fox to us when AR Fox has sold himself? Like, we're sold on AR Fox. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do know.
But like, this purely is just to establish, which we didn't really have before, a relationship between AR Fox and Darby Allin, right? Like, coming into AEW, AR Fox came in and tagged with the Martins, you know, with Top Flight, or what, or maybe it was just with Darius or something, or Dante or something like this. But you know, he was not associated with Darby at all. It's only in recent weeks where we've heard like a whisper of it. And then this was like a promo to really solidify it. What's going on?
I was kicking off my flip-flops and I must have done it into the mic.
Oh.
Kicking your flip-flops into your mic?
I thought you guys were like laughing at something I said.
Not the same.
That's just me being paranoid.
Or was it hopeful?
No.
I am going to offer a counter perspective, which is that I have been demanding for quite some time that Darby do promos that he's good at. Like, don't have him come in and do like, hey, I am mad at you. We should have a fight. And when he's real, he's real good. And he's putting over AR Fox, who deserves it. And he's just, you know, like being real about it. And it deepens the relationship and the story, like in a real way. And, you know, the dude like lived in his house for free. That is, you know, there's a closeness and an intimacy yeah. there that I think is really neat and enjoyable. So I'm so into this. I think it's fantastic. It showed everybody in the best possible light. And as you say, from what's coming later, like it's even better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then this goes right. Are we doing this separate from the match?
I think so. It's kind of,
yeah.
Kinda
okay.
It's big. What did you think, Calder?
I liked it. It was, as you say, like within Darby's like skill set area.
I thumbed it up.
Yeah,
I thumbed it up. It wasn't all that exciting or anything. It just, and I was like, why is he doing this? But here's why: we have a match with Orange Cassidy versus AR Fox for the international belt. I want to say they've been against each other in the past. Maybe with it was a tag situation. I mean, they're really good, both of them. And I think they both, this was a very strong match for both of them.
Yeah. I really liked it.
Yeah.
It was definitely not like, with what the two of them can do, it's the kind of match that doesn't require a big buildup of emotional stuff.
Yeah. I'll watch this all day, any day, you know, it's like as good as it gets.
It's a sort of and later we'll even run into it where I'm like, I will watch Darby versus Swerve forever and ever because they're great together.
Oh yeah.
I for a while there I was kind of off the I wasn't off the Orange Cassidy wagon. I just felt like you're pushing it so pushing this idea of him being hurt so far, like it just seems almost unrealistic. That he would continue to hold the belt. The problem is that every week he would do an amazing match and you'd be like, yes, I want to see more of that. And this was so great because as we keep going on and seeing it over and over again, we keep seeing Orange Cassidy matches. The wrestlers are now like countering his stuff. And there were so many counters that were so fun in this. Mm-hmm. You know, he just got this back and forth. It's great. And I'm to the point now where I don't want him to lose the belt ever. I just want him to hold the belt and he'll either retire it or it'll explode. I don't know. It'll be it'll get put into a limo then with Vince McMahon, and then it'll blow up, and then we'll pretend it never happened. But yeah, I just think it's great, and I want more of it forever.
It's one of those things where like you can't get too upset about it because every week you know at least you're gonna have one great match, you know. Mm-hmm. Because he tends to guarantee a good match, which is hard to say for a lot of, you know, wrestlers in general.
I mean, the only people we ever mention it in that context is Daniel Bryan.
What?
When we say like, oh yeah, like he cannot have a bad match, Daniel Bryan.
Who's Daniel Bryan?
Bryan Danielson.
Ah, there.
Did I?
You, wow! You dead named him. Good going.
Oh, I am not feeling well, y'all. It's like the thing where I still keep calling him Steven Regal, even though that hasn't been his name for decades.
No, I know.
I don't know.
I feel the same way, but that's just because like that was the only time that I was like blipped from that moment to what we're doing now, and I don't have any in between.
Yeah. So anyway, this was a great match. Orange Cassidy wins. And then after this, this is all part of the same segment, even though it kind of feels like a different segment. Orange Cassidy went to shake his hand, and they shook hands, and Orange Cassidy gave him sunglasses.
He gave him sunglasses. That's such a great bit.
And Air Fox did the thumbs up. But then Air Fox crumpled the sunglasses and then punched Orange Cassidy.
Oh.
And then Darby's all pissed off. Mox attacks Orange Cassidy, takes advantage of the situation, and Darby is like yelling at Air Fox. So that's going to be a situation.
Oh,
you know?
Dear.
A lot of hard feelings. I am
so into this because I love AR Fox, and I've never seen him work heel. And, you know, the fact that they're doing this says that they're, you know,
pushing it,
focusing on him. Yeah, they're going to give him some time. And I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
You've never seen him work heel, but how much face have you really seen him work? How much like I guess like we've seen him like for a little bit, like so he's kind of established what he is. But I was like, I don't know, that's just a funny thing to say, like that he's like had such a long record as a face.
I mean, I've only seen him working as a face because
it just reminded me like when you said it of this line from I said the promo for the new Meg movie where they're like where somebody's like I've never seen a Meg that big before. and Jason Statham says nobody has, and I'm like, that's like if you saw a Sasquatch in the wild for real, and you were like, that's the biggest Sasquatch I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's like, how many are you running into? What kind of job do you have? What kind of X-Files office are you working for?
Cryptid Explorer.
The Meg 2, The Trench, coming to a theater near you.
So anyways, I give this all a thumbs up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big thumbs up. Love it.
I do want to say, and this like just sort of, I don't know, is something that I get fixated on, is that the yelling that Darby does kind of rang false to me in a way. Just I don't know what it is, like it just is a lot of like he's clearly thinking to my mind like what's going to read is that I am chewing out AR Fox, And it doesn't matter so much what I say while I'm saying it, as long as I'm like gesticulating and clearly upset.
I don't think he thought he would be picked up by the mic.
Yeah. So he's saying a lot, like he just keeps saying over and over again, what was that?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
What was that? And then he said, that's embarrassing. And I was like, this is more than embarrassing. This is reputation killing.
It's something that you sort of have to balance television with the stadium experience. Like, it has to be big enough that people, you know, in the cheap seats can see what's going on and go, oh, I get it. He's mad at him because he did the thing. But also you have to convey it on television. What they should have done is like shown it real close, heard him saying like, what is that? That's it. And then cut to another thing. Which, you know, that's stagecraft right there.
Yeah, no, it's definitely super hard because you're both like far away and up close, like because you're in the theater experience and on a TV experience. So I get that. I don't know. I wish I could say I definitely know the best way to do that, but I don't.
Also, though, that's what I was saying before. Darby's not real good at that. You gotta limit it. You keep it real short. Okay, I got it. He's mad at Air Fox. Let's move on.
Yeah, fair.
Okay, this is so beside the point, but can I tell you something?
Did you poop yourself?
Watery diarrhea?
Oh, okay, you guys, if you say that one more time, I'm leaving. So I was watching Mrs. Doubtfire. And I was looking at the screen just briefly with the credits. And it said, bartender, Dr. Toad. And I was like, there's an actor named Dr. Toad? What the fuck?
Oh my God.
I looked it up. And Dr. Toad was a vintner. He was the founder of Toad Hollow Vineyards. But he was also the older brother of Robin Williams.
Huh.
Yeah, his All name right. is... Robert Todd Williams.
Wow.
So, Dr. Toad, if you please.
That I get that you're, you know, a guy who makes wines, but you're also Robin Williams' brother. You kind of got to lean into it a little bit. Like, you can't just be like, hello, I am Robert Williams of Robert Williams Vineyards.
I mean,
you
know, I'm like, sure.
Hey, I'm Dr. Toad, Toad Hollow Wines.
Wait, you're saying that you have to lean into being the brother of Robin Williams by being, what's his name from Flavor Country?
Wait, are you talking about the Marlboro Man, or are you talking about Flavor Town?
Guy Fieri.
That's your. Wow. You're doing Guy Fieri.
Is that Guy Fieri?
Yeah,
that wasn't my intent.
Well, you're thinking,
sick, so we'll let it go.
Fair.
Probably, Robin was like, "Well, you can credit you can give them any name you want." Credit, and he's like, "All right, Dr. Toad, it is." Anyways, moving right along.
Dugga duck, dugga duck.
Thank you very much. One of my favorite songs of all time. Jericho and Don Callis are talking to Renee Paquette.
Ooh.
And they're talking about, you know, Don Callis is like, we're going to team up with Takeshita. Everything's going to be great. And you're going to challenge against Sammy and Daniel Garcia. And Jericho's, you know what? I guess so. And then Don Callis presents him with a portrait.
Mm-hmm.
Much like he did with Kenny Omega. And I was like, I like that this is a thing. And the next thing I want to see is the portrait Don Callis has with him and Takeshita. I want to see this like gallery of Don Callis portraits with his proteges.
I just think it is unimaginative to repeatedly do the same move from relationship to relationship is all I have to say.
I disagree when it involves Boris Vallejo style oil paintings.
Yes.
Of people just like super ripped and
it's the best.
It's So great. I love the poster. I was waiting for the poster, and when it came, I was not disappointed.
Big thumbs up.
Big.
All right. So then we have a little blurb of a video. Hook's at a train station with the FTW belt. A train goes by, the belt's gone. A train goes by, and Hook's gone. Okay. That's it. That's all we have.
Big thumbs
I
up.
I love the idea of the belt traveling the city.
It works for me because it doesn't use words, because it is super short. It's just sort of evocative, and it gets him on TV in a different way. You know?
I agree with the points, but I don't agree that this provided enough. I middle it. It was interesting in the sense that it's like something different, but like it doesn't even give me a smidge of anything else. You know, this is all known information. I mean, unless they're saying that Hook is gone for a while, unless they're saying he's on vacation and you won't see him for a while, in which case, like, I would thumbs it up, but I don't know that. You know, I don't know what this means. So I have to middle it.
Taz is going to be so mad at you.
Oh, my God. That's all right. He can be mad.
yeah, I liked it. I thumb it up.
All right. Then we've got Claudio and Yuta. Claudio's trying to cut a promo, and then Mox comes in. They're talking about Pac. Everyone was saying Pac this week, but up until today they've been saying pack, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's like when we all discovered that what you're supposed to say is Iran and Iraq and Ukraine, not the Ukraine, and you know, like, okay, adapting.
Yeah,
also the proper way to pronounce her name is Chorizo.
Yeah.
Chorizo, not Chorizo. It's the Spanish.
As funny as my brother and I used to talk funny with each other, and he'd say Tweeso. I'd say Andu. Tweeso.
Tweeso.
I love that memory. Anyway. I did not like Claudio's promo. Mox swooped in to try and save it, but I still didn't enjoy what was happening. I middled
you think?
It.
Do you think that the situation was that Claudio was like giving a trainee promo and Mox was his supervisor standing by?
I mean, that's how it comes across, even though like they were trying to make it look like Mox just came back from beating up Orange Cassidy. You know, he's just like fresh on the scene and walks into the promo like, sorry, I'm late. You guys weren't supposed to say a thing. I was supposed to talk, and this is why. I don't know. It was fine, but I middled it.
I liked it just as a whole thing. It was fine. Okay. Popped it.
We got Shivani with Jack Perry in the ring. He's got a shirt on that says "I beat up Hook." Jack Perry's talking some shit, and he gets interrupted by Jerry Lynn. I guess he's an ECW guy because he mentioned it.
Yes, he is. He is one of the greatest.
Yeah, see, I don't know these things. So there's a challenge for the belt for next week, and now I don't even remember who against. Jerry Lynn?
It's unclear because, like, God bless Jerry Lynn. He's amazing, and I'm sure he's a great agent and whatnot, but also he's years out of, you know, like a in-ring competition. So I feel like this is something where someone is going to step in at the last minute, and it'll be a fun, like, nostalgia thing and, you know,
yeah,
whatever. Maybe.
Well, the important thing is that he's an old, old wrestling man, and he's in a feud now with a very young man, and that's very AEW.
Yes.
Okay, I gave this a thumbs up because I don't know. I just like seeing more evolution of Jack Perry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was perfectly acceptable. And the fact that Jack starts calling out Taz, they cut to Taz, and he's doing the middle finger thing, just like, that was so childish and wonderful. I loved it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. All right, we got Renee Paquette with Britt Baker talking about the match later with Taya Valkyrie. She was calling TBS the Brit show. I mean, it's everybody's show if you got to be somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I think logically you're correct on that.
We had that bitch show. I mean, you just got to find a bee.
Yeah. And
you can make it your show.
Yeah.
It could be the Brian show. It could be, I don't know, who else we got?
The boat show, the boat show, the big Seattle boat show. It's happening at the Kingdom, so you can come and see.
The boat Seattle people who are 40, you might remember this.
Yeah, yeah. I actually found it on YouTube the other day, and I was so happy. Because I was like, did I just make that up? It's embedded in my brain, but like...
Yeah. It's nice to have people like remind you that these things really did happen in your life. I had an experience like that recently with some friends from high school. I was like, I just have this image of meeting Wesley Willis in the back of Atomic Records. And he's like, it's this tiny little fucking record store in a strip mall in the town I was living in. And it was like so small, but he was in the back playing piano. And I was like, am I imagining things? Did I just like make that up? And then when they started talking about, oh, I remember that time, da, 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 I was like, oh, I'm so glad you guys said that, because I was thinking I was crazy. Or not crazy, but just like a liar. Like I'm lying to myself about my own life.
Now, Crazy, that was an Aerosmith hit.
There, that's right. Crazy, that was a good one.
Yeah.
It was at the same time as Crying.
Yeah, it was in that same trilogy, I think.
Yes, I agree. I think so. See, these were the times when we were young and Aerosmith was like on TV, MTV a lot. I don't know, it just gets to you.
I would not have understood that Aerosmith had originally been, I think I grasped that they had been around, but not that I was like, oh, you're telling me that Aerosmith was originally big when my parents were in college.
Exactly. I remember late 80s, early 90s. That's where it was really impressed upon me the most. And Wayne's World 2.
Yes.
Wayne's World 2 did it. Anyway.
How are we doing, Jan?
Doing great.
Okay.
Doing
great. You sound good.
We've got... Oh, did we thumb this? I thumbed it up. Oh, Renee with Britt Baker. Sorry.
Yeah.
I actually middled this, and I'll tell you why.
Tell us.
Right around here, I was like, is Wednesdays going to be just promos? And at the end of the night, I feel it was confirmed for me. Like Wednesday nights are going to be mostly promos for big things that happen on Saturday, and that really upsets me. We already saw. We'll get to it.
What are we going to do?
I'll talk about it later. Why I think we're just building to Saturdays anymore instead of Wednesdays actually being like the anchor show.
I middled this. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
We've got Pac versus Gravity. Gravity's interesting.
Yes.
At first I was like, what's going on? Is Pac saying he's in better shape than Gravity? I mean, like, he can say that to lots of guys.
Literally everyone.
Anybody. Like,
world.
Why is he making such a point now? But I don't know. Maybe he was just like so offended at Gravity's body. I don't know.
But Gravity reminded me of the I didn't watch the that show where what was that Korean show where all the goons had like the shapes on their faces?
Right.
Squid Game?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Gravity reminded me of one of the Squid Game people.
Made me think of Daft Punk.
Made me think he was a fencer.
Oh. I thought it was cool. I thought this was a great match. I loved it when Pat kept saying, "Forget me not." Forget me not.
Was he Neville when we were watching WWE?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
I think he left a little before then, but he was Neville, the man Gravity forgot. And WWE did the worst job with him. They oh my God, it's almost criminal how badly they misused him.
They fucking dropped the ball on so much talent. It's like a bummer.
Well, it just is, yeah, the way they are, especially that like the people that the system works for, it works for very, very well.
Right.
And everyone else is like, yeah, tough luck, sucker.
Yeah. I gave it a thumbs up, this match.
I did too. Yes. I liked it. I was disappointed that they didn't do a real great job. There's one shot where Gravity did an arms down, like sort of splash thing.
Oh.
And Excalibur, you know, like mentioned that, like, oh, that's a thing they do in Mexico. And so then I like, oh, okay. I don't think I caught that. So I rewound it and I looked. And they just cut in such a way that it's almost impossible to actually see it. And that was just another, like, man, I wish they were better at this.
It's frustrating.
I just want to learn more about the things that they do in Mexico.
There you go.
More
helpful travel tips, please, Excalibur.
Yeah, Excalibur.
Come on, Excalibur.
Renee Paquette, she's with Adam and MJF. They're talking about FTR. They're saying they're best friends for real now, come what may. And MJF's going to let Adam battle him for the belt at some point, and they're going to stay friends no matter what. Very interesting. Roddy comes in, and he and Adam have words, and Adam's like, "I have other friends, dude." So it's interesting. We'll see what happens. Like, I mean, again, I don't want this to go anywhere. I don't want Roddy to have his point made anytime soon. I want him to, like, go away for a while, and then when he comes back, maybe something. I don't know, but I just don't want to see him do all this every week.
Yeah.
Anyway, what'd you guys think?
Sorry.
I liked it. I thought, you know, MJF did some real fun stuff. I got the there was a lot of silliness, obviously. And during all of the yelling, I could swear I heard Roddy say, "You're going to regret not calling me your boy," which is the dumbest. I started getting the sense that, like, maybe MJF would actually kind of get suckered in and that Cole would be the one to actually turn on him. And then that would make him even more bitter and more of an asshole. And I am so into that idea that, like, he's this piece of shit who isn't vulnerable with anybody. And then he tries to be vulnerable and he gets stabbed in the back for it. Just, oh God, it gives me chills thinking about how amazing that would be.
I like it.
What did you guys thumb it? I thumbed it up because they're saying with words things that they've, like, you know, hinted at. So I like that we're solidifying this as a friendship, a real friendship.
Yeah.
All right. So this next promo makes 8 so far tonight. Renee is talking to FTR about the match on Saturday. And again, here's where I was like, Wednesdays are turning into promos for Saturdays, and I'm not going to watch on Saturdays. I'm just not. And that's all I got from this promo.
What do you got going on Saturday?
Doesn't matter. I'm not going to do it. I've scheduled my life for Wednesdays.
Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is fine. It is an FTR promo, which is very good. It just doesn't, you know, click with me. I've been watching Collision off and on, and I enjoy it, and I'm fine with it. Like, okay, we're promoing for Saturday, and then on Collision, they're promoing for Wednesday, and, you know, kind of like passing it all around. So that doesn't bother me as much.
Except it seems like all the big matches they're saving for Saturdays, and that is annoying.
But per Chan's contention, people watching on Saturday would probably think everything's happening on Wednesday. The grass is always greener.
Maybe, except for like once you get to the end of the night, you'll see nothing major happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were no major matches, but we had a fucking one of the biggest names in AEW retire on Saturday. You know what I mean?
Seemingly,
yeah. But still, like that really is stuck in my craw, which is next to my druthers.
Would you like a recap of Collision?
Do you have one?
I do not. But
then I'm all right. Anyway, so I middled this. What'd you guys do?
This was where Cash was where Dax was talking about MJF like imitating him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I like that. That was really funny to me. Okay. I thumbs it up.
Okay, then we have a Swerve versus Darby. Now, this is great.
Yeah.
This is great. At one point, Darby does a tope suicida into Swerve's stomach. I don't think I've seen that done so well.
They did it, I guess it was either Collision or Rampage, I don't remember. They had like a battle royal, and that was the finish. Darby wins because he didn't go over the top rope,
yeah.
But Swerve had. So, like, you know, he does that spear, and it was great. And I guess they liked it so much. They're like, hey, let's show it again for people on Dynamite. So you see, not all of the good stuff is on Collision. They give you a repeat sometimes if you need it.
Sure.
But yeah, I liked that. I just love Swerve so much.
Yeah.
I was really excited when Swerve won because I did not expect that they would have Swerve win. But and now he's with AR Fox, so they're beating up Darby, and then Nick Wayne shows up, and starts punching Swerve. So now is Swerve and AR Fox in the embassy?
Ooh,
pretty cool.
I'm a big fan of that.
Mm-hmm. That looks good to me.
It felt a little fast to me, and I feel like they've done this a couple times before. I'm happy with the thing we're doing. I like that they're doing that. It just felt like we introduced at the beginning of the show that Fox might turn heel, and then he fully does. I prefer these things to be stretched out a little bit. But I wonder if maybe because there's so much TV now, they're like, well, if we stretch this out over 3 weeks, people are going to forget. So we better just like do it all in one shot. So,
maybe.
I don't know if that's a good thing, but like
maybe the end result. Maybe they need him for something.
That's what I need. Yeah.
Maybe they need him for something because somebody is like injured or you never know.
Never know.
Never know.
No, it's interesting.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, it seems as though there is some kind of hidden logic to it that you don't get to know because they don't reveal the inner workings. And sometimes it would be better if they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thumbs up?
Yeah.
Big thumbs up, yeah.
We got Renee backstage with Jericho and Jas.
Yes.
Jericho and Jas are having a meeting in their locker room where the painting is hanging. Anna said, "You don't appreciate us." So, yeah, that's how that basically ended. They've lost faith in him. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I thumbs this up because I like the story progression.
My note here is, I guess I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
You got the thing where, like, it's a little overwrought and kind of silly. It looks weird that they're in, like, a blank dressing room with a painting hung at, like, waist level. Just like, the production design is a little strange, but they're talking and this is the way it should progress. And, like, eventually he is going to, like, turn on them fully. And I guess this makes them faces. I'm not mad at that.
I don't see this as making them face, but it definitely splinters them as a group.
Well, we're
talking about the best.
We've got the match with Jericho and Takeshita versus Sammy and Daniel. And then probably there will be some similar situation with 2.0 and, you know, Anna or something.
Now they have to come up with their own faction name, right? They're no longer Jas. They're something else. So they can either go back to being single Pringles or they'll form their own thing. You know, we'll see. But I just like that it's it just splinters them and it's official.
You know? Single Pringles.
Yeah. Did we already thumb this then?
I thumbed it up. You thumbed it up.
I thumbed it up.
Calder.
Yeah, it was a thumbs up for me.
Okay. So this is where the recap of Saturday, Daddy Ass leaving his boots in the ring came in. And I was like, mm-hmm. God damn it. I'm pissed off.
Guess you need to spend more time with wrestling.
Mm-hmm. We've got a match with DMD versus Taya Valkyrie.
This was pretty good.
It was good. I don't know. I'm still waiting for Taya to, like, kind of, I don't know, loosen up. I'm not really sure what it is. There's something that's still kind of bugging me. I don't know what it is because she's a good wrestler and I know she's good. But anyway, but I liked it. I gave it a thumbs up.
I middled it, which is a real bummer because, like, I really like Taya and, you know, Brits are great, but it just feels so thrown in there. Like, what?
Yeah.
And then to have her lose, like, I have to trust that there's a direction they're going here. Like, they're not going to
lose.
Yeah. And she's too special to be a jobber.
Yeah. Right.
Like, she should be, like, squashing people.
Yeah.
And if not, have a reason for it. It's just, I don't know. Just book the women's division better.
Mm-hmm. As per the prominently displayed sign that got some attention.
Really? Yes. What sign?
Somebody had a sign during this show that, like, said verbatim, "Book the women's division better."
Yeah, well, that's the truth. There's also a sign that said "boo," and a sign next to it with a B on it. Boobies, boobies.
Very good.
Anyways, yeah, I give this a thumbs up. You middled it. What about you, Calder?
It was a thumbs up for me.
Okay. We got Nyla Rose and Ishida promo. Yeah. I really liked seeing Nyla. I like her humor.
Who's with her? Who's that person?
I don't know. Oh, that was Marina Shafir.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah.
Problem.
Yeah. So, you know, let's get Nyla back out there. You know, like, it's just so weird that we literally never see her or hear from her. And so it's nice to have a reminder of like, oh, yeah, Nyla's here. And Nyla and Taya. God, can you imagine that tag team?
Yeah, that'd
be amazing. Pretty cool.
Sure. I could get into that.
You know. But shit, I don't know. I just don't know what's going on with them anymore. But I thumbs this up.
Yeah, same.
I feel like all of the promos here should kind of like go all together because they're like so short.
Yeah.
Like this was real short, and then it was followed up by a bunch of tag team promos for the Battle Royal.
Yes. Oh my God. It was everybody, but there wasn't all the tag teams because obviously Butcher and the Blade weren't in it, but we got Jeff and Matt Hardy. Oh, wait. Are we going to thumb that one also?
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that. I'm thumbing up the Nyla Shida.
How about you, Calder?
Yeah, I did as well.
Okay. So this next one was for the Battle Royale. We've got Jay Lethal, Sadnam, Sanjay Dutt. We've got Prince Nana with Big Bill, Brian Cage. We've got Ethan and what's his face from Private Party?
I don't know. Mark Quinn?
Not Mark Quinn. Is the other guy. I forgot his name. I didn't look it up. And I don't have being sick as a like reason either. I just was lazy.
Brother Zay. That's right.
Isaiah Cassidy, yes. Yeah. Jeff and Matt Hardy, they all do promos. They were all short. It was all whatever. Just saying, hey, we're going to get you. I'll be curious to see Sadnam in this situation. Because basically they're like, you're never going to get this guy over the ropes. And that will be something that'll have to happen. So it'll be interesting.
That is the classic thing. Everybody gangs up on the big guy.
But I middled this.
I upped it because it was short. We got a whole bunch of faces on screen. I like that sort of thing. At the beginning of Collision, they do that too. Here's like three short ass promos. It's like, hey, tonight we're going to see you out there. And it's just like, it feels nice. Like, cool. Okay. You got your point across. You didn't have to waste a lot of time with it. I was real disappointed. I'm constantly disappointed by Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you're just disappointed by a lot in life.
Well, yes, obviously. Him like swiping the Rock's catchphrase, like it doesn't matter. Dude, it is 2023. That shit is 25 years old. And it wasn't even your catchphrase. What the hell?
Once things are 25 or 30 years old, they're new again.
They are not. That is a lie.
Ask all the Zoomers that think they've discovered Nirvana.
Oh, man.
Kidding. I'm kidding. What was that?
Good Lord.
Sorry. That sounded like there's a drag race outside my apartment building.
I was going to say, it was so loud, it was almost like in your apartment.
It sounded like someone was just driving a motorcycle through your apartment.
Wow. That's a good microphone you've got.
Yeah.
Calder, what did you give this?
It was a thumbs up for me. I like the rapid fire.
All right. We've got an Andrade promo, but it's not an Andrade promo.
Whoa.
It's Buddy Murphy.
It's a Buddy promo.
Featuring nothing but imagery of Andrade. So this was so weird because it's like, you know, who is this for? And Buddy Murphy never talks. So I had to remind myself that this was Buddy Murphy talking because I'm not used to hearing his voice, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, now who would this be? But anyways, yeah. So I give it a thumbs up because it's highlighting Andrade again. And mm-hmm. since he was gone for a long time, it's nice to have him back and just like reminding the Wednesday audience, since the Wednesday audience has not seen Andrade once since he's come back, that he exists at AEW. And indeed, so does Buddy Murphy. So I give it a thumbs up.
I did as well because, yeah, I love Buddy. Andrade's great. I tell you what, one of the reasons why I often poke my head in on Collision is that Malachi has said, like, we're only going to be on Collision. And
that's fucked up bullshit.
That they're doing it because it makes it feel special. Like, okay, well, you know that if you go there, that's what you're going to get. And, you know, you don't have to wonder, like, oh, are they going to be here? They're going to be here. So, yeah. And it's going to be a ladder match with Buddy Murphy and Andrade.
Oh, my.
I mean, do you really want to miss that, Teresa?
This is what pisses me off.
Yeah.
This is what I've been saying all along. I was worried that Saturday was going to turn into an entirely different promotion. Like, not just a different feel of a show, a different promotion altogether. So, like, I cannot enjoy the wrestlers that I enjoy on the same night. You know what I mean? I have to watch a specific night. Just like WWE did with Raw and Friday nights. Like, I don't like that. It just is weird. I probably makes sense for touring, probably makes sense for like resting a wrestler, but I'm pretty sure you can swap nights sometimes, you know? And this is really frustrating to me. And again, they're giving all the good shit on Saturdays. Who the fuck doesn't want to see that? Of course I want to see that. But why can't it be a Wednesday?
Well, they're doing it because their early ratings were in the shitter.
Oh, really?
And if they're...
because it's a fucking Saturday.
It is. But, like, I believe some of their, like, future money from Warner is going to be dependent on how well Collision does. So
they don't have that billion yet.
No.
They already spent it. Can you imagine spending $1 billion? It's like Brewster's Millions, but it's billions.
I was going to bring up Brewster's Millions, but I was like, it's such a niche thing.
It really is.
Like, who would remember a fucking Richard Pryor vehicle from like 1983?
How dare you?
Like, Richard Pryor only has so many vehicles, you know?
Yeah.
That was not the original Brewster's Millions. There was a one from even before that.
Oh, from like the 20s or something?
It was like the 40s. It was a post World War II movie.
Was it like Brewster's Thousands?
I think it was still Millions.
It's funny because there's a lot of movies that I love that I found out much later were like remakes from shit from the 30s. I'm like, dang.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. All right. So we've got the last match of the night.
Best Friends.
Versus the Lucha Brothers versus Blackpool Combat Club. Yeah, I liked this.
Seems pretty begrudging to me.
I mean, what am I going to – look, I love the Lucha Brothers, so of course I love this. And Best Friends, you know, Trent and What's-His-Face, they're good against the – at least Lucha is – or oh, my God. At least Trent is for sure. Sorry, it's like boiling in my apartment. So right about now is when and having my AC off for this long is when, like, I start losing my shit. Trent is good with the Lucha Brothers. I think they're fun against each other. Chuck's all right. He's not bad, but like, I don't know, he's fine. Blackpool Combat Club. they're good too. It's just so different. And so it's like a real clash of styles, which is what you want. It was interesting. But I don't know. I guess my emotions weren't involved.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't really like hoping for any one thing. And I guess I just don't understand the, I understand what, I mean, I don't know. I guess I just don't really understand what's going on here.
Apparently it's been like in the last week, I guess, spread over all of the shows where, sort of old rivalries have been rekindled. Because obviously, you know, these groups have run into each other many times before. Right. And it also sounds like they're building up for the 200th episode next week. And so they were trying to how do we kind of put together a really great match? And the thing that's coming out of it, the three way with Mox and Penta and I think Trent, that sounds like it's gonna be really exciting. So this was fine. I agree. It wasn't, there's a blood feud and all these people, really have something going here. It's sort of here's some stuff that's kind of put together, but it makes sense.
Yeah. What'd you think, Calder?
I liked it. I thought it was a pretty exciting match. They always do a good job at balancing out the action between ordinarily, when there is a group of three pairings like this, I feel like there's a lot of awkwardness, but I feel like they usually do a good job at balancing it so that you're getting enough of action at one time and you're not weirded out about where the rest of them are.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job with that as well. We also have Orange Cassidy interrupting. Attacking Yuta and Mox, and this was not, I guess, because of the type of match this was, it wasn't illegal.
Yeah.
But Penta capitalized on this situation and got the pin. But in the aftermath, they kept beating each other up. And basically, they're to be continued.
So tune we'll in see. Saturday.
Yeah, basically.
Just to piss off Teresa.
I mean, let me just count this. 1, 2, 3, technically 4.
17.
5, 6, 7.
17.
8. 9. 10. 11.
Just going to get to the end. Find out that it's 17.
12.
17.
13.
13.
13 promos.
Oh, I see.
13 It's a promos. Lot of promos.
It's a lot of fucking promos. And I'm like, Wednesday night better not be fucking promo for Saturday night. I'm going to show up with a pitchfork.
Here's my take on it. This is a 91% show.
Ooh.
So that says to me that Tony Khan is trying to game our system by having a whole bunch of really short, really fast promos that are going to get a thumbs up so that they skew the numbers.
It's a default must watch because I would never tell someone to watch this night.
Yes.
I would never.
Yes.
So, it's fucked up.
It is a good show. It is definitely worth watching a lot of real fun stuff.
There's definitely some good matches in it.
I don't know. Yeah, there were some good matches, but if someone was like, I don't have a lot of time, I'd say skip it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wouldn't call this night a must watch.
That's fair.
Anyway, that's just my thoughts.
Anyway, that's the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. And I'm going to go be sick somewhere.
Everybody feel better. Specifically Chan.
Everybody cool off.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My cat's got her belly up to the sky. Please. Cool the air. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, dang-ding, dang-ding-doom.